Experiencing pure joy 24/7 from your holy channel, Shalom FM Cape Town.
Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test. But holding on to faith, you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You got this figured out, and you're watching us now. And when it looks as if we can't win, wrap us in your arms and step in. Everything we need you to supply. You got this in control, and now we know that you made a way. When our backs were
against the wall, and it looked as if it was over,
Lord, you made a way, and we're standing here.
Lovely, lovely day to you all. Welcome to Shalom FM. That was Travis Green with Made a Way. This is Shalom FM, where there's always a way out in Christ Jesus. And this is your favorite transformational speaker, Sir Brian Robert Koga, speaking from Command of Faith Miracle Ministries Worldwide, the headquarters holding Shalom FM. So I really want to show my appreciation for you joining us today on the motivational drive to help you achieve, to help you accomplish, to help you transform your life, to help you be all that you can. For if you decide to go as far as you can, God will give you the grace, He will give you the wisdom, He will give you the strength, He will help you along the path. And my job simply is to help you to be a beacon of light, to show you the way and to help you as you go about your journey. We are all on a different path, we are all on different destination. Life is not really a competition of a 100-meter dash, but it is really a marathon, and we owe it to everyone to be there for each other and to teach each other, you know, the do's and the don'ts, and to help each other in not to have to make the same mistakes that we have also made. You see, today I really want to talk about something that I've been reading. I've been exposed to a wonderful book that I'm reading. It's called Your Life, Your Legacy, and it's by Roger Hamilton. And I want to read certain pages out of it that might help you as you go about your path. I'm just going to pick certain things that have really been or made a difference in regards to my life and to my thinking. You see, we constantly need to be learning. Read us today, our leaders tomorrow. For if you read, you are able to transcend from your life, to be able to see into other people's life. You actually have the capability to be able to know how those who have made it in this world made it. And you also can apply the same principles. Many are searching after the glory of another person when they simply need to read through his story so that they can learn how that person got their glory, and they can apply the certain principles, the same principles, or different ways, but not make the same mistakes, and also be able to attain your own glory. Now, Buddha says your work is to discover your work, and then with all your heart to give yourself to it. It is a quote by Buddha, the Buddhism, one of the author, the founders, the founding fathers of Buddhism. He says your work is to discover your work, and then with all your heart to give yourself to it. Now, imagine a race in which the runner takes off full of energy and enthusiasm, intent on winning. For the first few moments, he enjoys the breeze in his face and the feeling of progress. However, after a while, he thinks ahead to the finish line and wonders how far it is. Then he wonders exactly where it is. He realizes that he has no idea. In his excitement to get going, he never thought to get a map. No matter how much energy and enthusiasm you may have, without certainty of where you are going and how you will get there, you will soon lose momentum. In such times, many of us seek motivation to keep us going. My approach has not been to seek motivation, but to seek certainty, to seek direction. Once you have clarity about your path, then your momentum along it will reach new levels. Imagine you're running a race and you're at the starting line, and they say, you know, Max, get set, go, and you begin to run. And as you run, you see yourself ahead of everybody else. You see yourself enjoying the wind. You feel your legs, your muscles contracting as you hit the ground foot by step, running in the wind. It's a beautiful day. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just the perfect day. And you're going on your run. And as you are running, you soon realize that you actually don't know where the finish line is. Imagine that for a second. You soon begin to wonder, how far is the finish line? What sort of race am I in? How and where am I now among the competitors and among the path, the relay or the race? How far am I from the finish line? Where am I and how long is the journey? So the idea is, if you don't have a map of where you're going, then no matter how fast you run, how much energy and commitment you put in running, you will never really get there. No matter how much energy and enthusiasm you have, without certainty of where you're going and how you get there, you soon lose that momentum, that energy, that motivation. So the first thing is, you really need to be aware of exactly where you want to end up. You really need to know where you want to go. Where are you going? Why do you do that which you do? Why do you wake up in the morning to go to work? Why are you working? There has to be a reason. There has to be an objective. If there's no objective, you really are. You end up feeling that your energy begins to drain and drain and drain. There has to be a goal. You can never reach a target which you have not set in your own mind. In such times, many of us, we seek motivation to keep us going. But the idea is not to seek motivation. You need to seek certainty, to seek direction. Where there's no direction, you end up in the wrong section. Successful people have direction and they have intention, and that is why they get to the right section. That is why they get what they want and they get to where they want to, because they really know what they want. Last week we talked about what do you want? You have to know what you want. You have to know exactly what you want. When you have clarity about your path, you soon have the energy to reach new levels. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, the great Paul. Paul was one who went about doing great things in this world. He's one of those people who wrote more books than everyone in the Bible. But he writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 18, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll read again for you. I'll repeat it for you. Chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul was simply saying that I do not run as if as one who is stupid. I do not run as if one who does not know where he's going, but I run with intention, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, I press on toward the high calling, toward that which God has set before me. So he worked so hard because he had a goal in mind and he had an objective. Remember what I say, that if you know where you want and you know how far you want to go, God will always give you the grace. He will give you the wisdom, the strength. He will give you whatever you need. But many of us, our dreams are too small to the point that God cannot really give us the extra energy that he is willing to give us. God cannot give us the wisdom that we desperately need, because we don't have big enough dreams or big enough goals. Now, the definition of wealth. I want to talk about wealth and finances today, because I believe that it is an area that, if not properly addressed, it will mean a lot of losses. It will mean a lot of harm. It will cause, the reason why many of us are miserable is because we are in this search to get more money, to get more wealth, but have really taken the time to find out what is wealth and what is money and how to really attain it. So I'm going to read, like I said, like I promised, I'm going to read from the book of the book called Your Life, Your Legacy by Roger Hamilton. Wealth is not how much money you have. Wealth is what you're left with when you lose all your money. True wealth lies in your power to give and to receive at your full potential. Those who grow their wealth are continuously increasing their flow, attracting more and contributing more. Only when you live at your potential can you give at your potential. Growing wealth leads to a greater income and a greater outcome. To use a metaphor, wealth is like a garden. The most inspiring, lovingly nurtured garden gives the most pleasure and attracts the most butterflies. Wealth creators don't build nests to catch butterflies. They build an inspiring garden. I like that. The net and the garden. Wealth is permanent like the garden, while money is temporary like the butterflies. Using the analogy of money being tricky and transient, always flying about as butterflies are, it allows us to draw a clear distinction between the strategies of those who are busy trying to make money, compared to those who are building wealth, the net. You want to catch butterflies, so you decide to build a net. Surely with your net, you can catch them more easily. You read books on the subject and you practice skills in butterfly catching. You find that you are making improvements. Your net gets bigger and smarter, and gradually you do catch more butterflies, but there's something wrong. After many years of this strategy, you still need to wake up every day and go out to catch more butterflies. You need to hold on to the butterflies you have caught, or they'll fly away just as quickly. The more butterflies you have, the more difficult they are to hold on to. You're constantly in fear that the butterflies will disappear, or that someone with a bigger net will beat you at your own game. When the butterflies disappear, you're left with nothing. Many people have become experts at sales, marketing, management, and customer service, yet they still struggle to make money. We all know of people who have learned the strategies of successful stock market trading, property investing, and entrepreneurs, yet they are still left finding their losses. They carefully follow the strategies that they have learned, and they remain baffled, confused as to why they do not attract the same opportunities, resources, and sheer luck as the successful role models that we look. They are trying to make money without first building wealth. They are trying to chase butterflies with a net. Successful wealth creators don't worry about building a net. They grow a garden. By focusing on creating an inspiring garden, you are growing more something, you are growing something permanent around you. As the garden grows, the butterflies come in. As time goes, the effort required to manage the garden falls as the number of butterflies rise. In fact, the butterflies, the birds, and the bees end up pollinating your garden for you. You don't fear butterflies leaving, as there are always more coming your way. If anyone takes your butterfly, there will be more the next day. Every successful wealth creator is focused entirely on building their wealth foundation rather than their money-making activities. They build a reputation, a powerful network, a knowledge base, a resource base, and a track record. This is the garden, and it is built not around their expertise, but usually around their passion, their path, and their purpose. Every day they wake up to their garden, not to an empty net. Warren Buffett, one of the richest person in the world, says, "I may have more money than you, but money doesn't make the difference. If there's any difference between you and me, it may be simply that I get up and have a chance to do what I love to do every day. If you learn anything from me, this is the best advice I can give you. I may have more money than you, but money doesn't make the difference. If there's a difference between you and me, it may simply be that I get up and have a chance to do what I love to do every day." So find your purpose. Be still like a mountain and flow like a great river. Does the garden metaphor resonate with you? Are you busy chasing butterflies with a net, or are you growing your garden? The garden is the first step. Here is the second. You can water your garden with a bucket, or you can water it with a permanent river. We can all relate to the idea of growing a garden, but running our own river. Every wealth creator has created their own river. When we grow our river, we grow our flow. As we grow our flow, we grow our attraction. At first glance, the two metaphors are similar as with the butterflies. The water in the river is temporary, as with the garden, but the river is permanent. There are, however, four additions. Water. Water, like money, flows. Money is already flowing around this planet at unprecedented rates. Great wealth creators have achieved their wealth not by making money, but by creating flow. They've learned how to direct some of this money flow through themselves, their enterprise, their business, and their families. Wealth then is largely about good plumbing. There are rules to this plumbing. Flow is another important thing about the river. Flow is more about cash flow. It is about life flow. Each of us creates our greatest wealth when we are in our personal flow. Those of us who build a river around the flow attract all the resources, people, and opportunities in the same way that a lever thrown in the river we will be naturally attracted to where the current is moving fast. When we are creating the right river, it feels right for us. When you find your flow, you begin to love life and to live life fully. Paul says, I press toward the high calling, the calling of which Jesus called me for. Paul did so much. He went in different cities preaching the gospel because he found his calling. His flow was in being a channel to spread the gospel. So you need to find a channel. You need to find what sort of channel you are and to really stick to it, the path. There are different paths to running a river, and we each have a natural path of least resistance. Each of us is different. Each is in a different game with different players and different rules. Until you follow your natural path, life feels like a struggle and you'll find little attraction. Many of us are operating at a fraction of our true potential. Focus on your natural path and life soon changes from hard to get to easy to give. So the idea is to find out. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you. So you need to find your gift and you need to operate on what is given you. God has given you certain talents, certain characteristics, certain experiences, certain insights, certain knowledge that you need to operate in. And when you operate in within those, then you're able to really live a fulfilled life. Purpose. In a river, flow assumes exit as well as entry. Giving more opens the way to receiving more. With flow, a bigger income goes hand in hand with a bigger outcome. In the limited time we have on this planet, we choose our power to create and our power to contribute. When you live in your flow, you maximize your power. You attract the resources to leave a lasting legacy. Your path leads to your legacy. So this really made a profound sense to whatever I was doing, because I realized that many a times I'm busy in the garden searching after butterflies. I'm working in someone's garden and I'm busy searching butterflies, trying to catch so many butterflies. The butterflies have been, it's a metaphor of money. And yet, because the more I catch butterflies, the more I begin afraid to lose the butterflies. I'm afraid of losing the money to the point that I'm constantly living in fear, in worry, which is what happens to many of us. We work so hard month to month, season to season, year to year, trying to get as much money as you can. And actually, when we do have the money, we're never really fulfilled. We're still wanting more. We still wanting more. We are afraid, what if we lose that money? Then we will have nothing. But the world creators, like the book says, leave your legacy. It says that the world creators, what they do is they begin to build a garden. They work hard on the garden. Paul says, whatever you sow, you shall reach. You shall reap. So they sow beautiful plants in their garden. They sow wonderful trees. And these trees will reap them great harvests and great results. So you need to make your own garden, so that by making your own garden, you begin to attract the butterflies, the bees. You begin to attract the money. You should not be chasing after money, but you need to become a person of value so that money begins to chase after you. People will come to you and require things from you because they know that you are the best in that regards on that field. Martin Luther said, even if you be a street sweeper, sweep the streets so well that heaven and earth will say, surely they lived a great street sweeper. So you have to do your best. You have to move from being average. The world is tired of average. The world is looking for excellent. You have to be excellent in the field that you find yourself in. Now, Donald Trump says, one of his quotes says, everything in life is luck. I think as I will read through the page, you get to really understand. You find it very easy when reading the story of the billionaires and multimillionaires in this book to say they were lucky. The reason it's easy to say is because it's true. The key to wealth is luck. Luck is the phenomenon that Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung termed synchronicity. Luck is intimately related to flow. As your flow grows, your luck grows. As your luck grows, your flow grows. Wealth creators know how to grow their own luck. You have to create your own luck. People who make it in this world, they look for the circumstances that they need to make it. And if they can't find the circumstances, they make their own circumstances and they do make it in this world. So Sam Walton, founder of Walmart, one of the richest men in the world in the 1980s, and his family still remains the richest in the world. Sam fell into retailing at the age of 21 because his family's neighbor happened to be a retailer with 60 different shops. The neighbor became one of the mentors to Sam Walton, showing him the trade and offering a job. So did Walton have a plan for wealth? I don't know about the kind of stuff, but I know this for sure. I loved retail from the very beginning, and I love it today. So the success formula of Walmart in every town, did it happen by chance or by luck? No, it was by necessity. As Walton was getting ready to start his first job, his wife Ellen said, "I'll go with you any place you want, so long as you don't ask me to live in a big city. 10,000 people are enough for me." Democritus in 460 BC said, "Everything existing in this universe is the fruit of chance and necessity." So therefore, Walton, Tom Bates, he worked in a retail franchise. Walton asked Tom what he'd have suited a small town at the age of 27. Sorry about that. Let me just skip over. I just want to get to a point that I want to make a point. Okay, I'll read this. Then came the billion-dollar piece of bad luck, not because it cost a billion, but because it led to a billion. In all my excitement at becoming Sam Walton when he opened his first shop, I neglected to include a clause in my lease which gave me the option to renew after the first 5 years. Seeing the success of the store, the landlord chose not to renew the lease and forced the sale of the outlet from Walton to his own son. With no other viable location in Newport, Walton loaded his family and belongings into a truck and started driving. They didn't stop until they came to a small town, Bentonville, population 3,000. There, at the age of 32, he started Walton's 5-dime store. 12 years later, also in Bentonville, the first Walmart opened. Today, Bentonville is the headquarters of Walmart's $220 billion global empire. When Sam Walton died, he was the richest man in the world. 3 years ago, Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, was busy developing the iMac into a multimedia editing device. Jeff Rubin, a 20-year-old developer who had left Apple months before Jobs' return, had started a company to develop SoundGem, a jukebox program. Jobs bought the company as Rubin had impressed the team at Apple. And over the next year, Jobs asked him to develop a jukebox for the Mac, which he did, naming it iTunes. Jobs thought, if photo files can be portable in your camera, why can music files be portable too? So he asked Rubin if he could come up with a portable music player. And 9 months later, the iPod was launched. But it was not only after the team was playing the iPod prototypes that they came up with the idea of the Apple iTunes online store. Less than 18 months after the rollout of the iPod, the online store opened in 2003. They hoped to sell 1 million songs in the first months, and they ended up selling that many in the first 6 days. The online store was the critical bridge that opened up the entire PC market in a way that software alone had never managed to do for Apple. By the end of 2005, Apple had a 62% share of the online music market. Apple's iPod business alone is predicted to hit $6 billion in 2006. It is really an old book, around what Apple's entire revenue was when Jobs took over. Did Apple's share price triple in 2005 as a result of a plan or as a result of share luck? Steve Jobs has now made $1 billion by being lucky on three separate occasions. All three happened by luck, but none happened by accident. Great entrepreneurs do not create success. They create the conditions for success to occur. Give luck a chance to happen. Once you begin following your path, luck happens as a result of the flow you grow. Here's a simple way to build the foundation, to build your luck. The foundation of luck is built on four conditions. Number one, location. U for understanding. C for connections. K for knowledge. L in the word luck means location. U means understanding. C means connections. And K means knowledge. Think of a game of football. Think of David Beckham. Now he's lucky. The 30-year-old English footballer earns over 8,000 per week kicking a ball, and together with his wife, Victoria, has a net worth of close to more than 100 million. So what is it that makes a footballer lucky? As we watch the game, there's an opening and Beckham scores. We think that was luck. Out of all the spots on the pitch, he was exactly at the right place at the right time. Location. Who chooses where you place yourself each day? We each have an opportunity to be at the right place at the right time. Many of us are so busy going to work every day, we're always at the wrong place, wrong time. Many of us are at the right place, yet our minds are at the wrong place and we miss out on opportunities. Luck starts with choosing to be at the right place at the right time. Open yourself up to opportunities in this world. Open yourself up to connect with people who are doing well at what you want to do so that you can learn from them, so that you can tap into their connections and their knowledge and their resources and also make it well in your own business. Understanding. Understanding. At the critical moment, when the ball is in front of the goal, we may find ourselves at the right place, right time, but if we have no understanding of the reason we are there to kick the ball, many of us are still spectators watching the game. By the time we notice the ball, it's too late to kick. The players know they are there to kick the ball, so have already anticipated, they have already set a plan in motion, they've already positioned themselves, and they kick the ball to score the winning shot. Luck comes from playing the game, not from watching it. Many of us are busy watching life while others are living it. We're busy scrolling Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp. We're busy watching on TV and not really living the life that we are meant to be living. We're busy watching other people live, and yet our time on this earth is soon passing away. Connections. Many of us have positioned ourselves in front of the goal and understand we are there to kick the ball. We have started our business, our investment, our family, but there is no ball coming. We wait and wait, and the years tick by. Still, there is no ball coming. If this happens to you, try looking around to see if there's anyone else on the pitch. Many of us have not invested in our connections, the players who should be kicking us the ball. There's no one on the pitch. Great wealth connectors, creators have million-dollar balls being kicked to them every day as a result of the connections they build. Connections, by the way, are not the same as a network. Many of us have big networks, but networks are full of spectators, not players playing our game, so there are still no opportunities coming our way. Many of us have so many friends, so many people, but the actual friends that we have, they do not add any or whatever value in our lives. They're just there watching us. They're just there as spectators. One of the great things that one of the quotes that I've read overhead is that birds that fly together, that flock together, they end up at the same destination. Look at the people around you. Look at the connections that you have. Are they going the same direction? And where are they going to end up to? For one bad rotten tomato in a basket will soon corrupt everything else. You need to have the right connections, the right friends, the right people in your world. And you don't go out there looking for friends. You go out there to become so friendly and you attain friends. But you have to really be particular in who you choose to be a part of your life, because some are not adding anything in your life, they're simply subtracting. But you need people who add in your life. They add wisdom, they add resources, they add experience, they add good advice to you. Knowledge. There's no point having balls coming your way if you don't know how to kick them. There's no point having opportunities coming your way if you don't know what to do with them. Knowing how to kick the ball comes with playing the game. The more you play, the more you know, which is why the sooner you choose your game and play it, the sooner your luck begins to flow. There's a Zen saying that says, to know and not to do is not yet to know. To know and not to do is not yet to know. Many of us, we really know what we need to be doing in this world. We really know what exactly our path is, but we are not doing anything about it. And that it is the same as someone who does not know. If you know and you don't do, you are worse off than someone who does not know. If you know to do well, then you must do well. If you know to do what is right, then do that which is right. For we are accountable for that which we know, that which you do not apply. We really need to seek more knowledge and to begin to know. But knowing is not enough. Wisdom is not just having lots of knowledge, lots of facts on statistics, but it is wisdom is knowing how to apply them. You have to apply principles for you to enjoy this world. We build these four conditions by not investing our money, but investing our time. Some of us have been too busy doing all sorts of things each day and have not invested in building our luck. We are not at the right place at the right time. We do not understand what to do when opportunities come. We do not have the right connections to lead, to help us, to guide us. We do not have the right knowledge to know what to do with our location, to understand the friends that we have and the connections and opportunities that are our way. Many a times we are looking at next door, the grass always looks greener on the other side, yet we have never taken the time to water our own grass. You have to water your own grass. You have to do the necessary work upon yourself for you to be able to enjoy what everyone else is enjoying. As we read so many books, so many biographies, as we read into the stories of people who have made in this world, you see that they took the time to find out who they were, where they were, and decided exactly how far they wanted to go. And they were relentless, they persevered, they were not giving up. They took the time to actually set a target and a goal for themselves. Many people are trying to hit a target which they have not set, and therefore we end up being frustrated. Paul says, I press on toward the high calling of the mark of Christ Jesus. Paul knew what he was doing, and Paul says, I do not count myself as one who has attained, but I move forward into the future, looking at what I have done and looking for so much more. Many of us are satisfied with the little that we are getting now, when actually God has so much in mind for us. We have to do the work. We have to do the work. And remember that there's always a way out in Christ Jesus. One thing that I've known about this life is whenever we think that there's no way out, there's always a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ask, think, or imagine. I remember one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Joseph. Joseph is a young man. From the onset, he knew exactly what he wanted. God gave him his dream, this vision, that one day he will stand as a leader, that even his family will bow down before him. They hated him. His brothers began to hate him. But Joseph did not forget what God had put in his heart. Do not ever forget what God has placed in your heart. That dream, that one, that objective, whatever you want, God is able to help you. So Joseph, in his life, whatever he was doing, he always did the very best that he went. Remember that Joseph, when he was taken and sold to the house of Potiphar as a slave, in that same house, Joseph did the very best. He was at the right place at the right time. He was there in that place, and he began to learn how to govern a household of a governor, how to manage the resources of his master, such that when the time came for Joseph to govern the whole nation of Egypt, the whole world's resources, when there were droughts everywhere, Joseph had a plan. So whatever you're doing now, maybe that is the leeway, or that is the open way, for God is trying to, if you manage the little that you have, God will obviously give you more. So it's about, first of all, beginning to know exactly what you want and being at the right place at the right time. Where you are now is good enough for now, but you can actually go far. You can actually get more simply by becoming more valuable, simply by going the extra mile, simply by doing more than everybody else is doing. You actually have to put in the work. You have to have an understanding of where you are. Find out where you are. Look, examine your life. See, look at your friends. Look at the people around you. Look at whoever or whatever you do every day and see if it is adding value or if it is moving you towards your future. If not, then it means some things you have to let go. But you have to pray for wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to let go of and what to hold on for. For many of us are holding on to the past that is not leading us to our future. Some things you have to let go. You have to make the necessary sacrifice. Jesus did all that he could. He gave himself. He became a sacrifice so that he could attain the whole world in salvation. So sometimes it means sacrificing. Carry your own cross for whatever you sow. That is exactly what you reap. So look at what you've been planting and see what fruits you get in the next few years. And then you have to know, you have to have the skills. The skills, skill is developed not by just learning, by reading, but skill is actually developed by being on the ground, by actually doing the work. When you begin to do the work, you begin to learn how to do it better. And when you fail, it is simply showing you that the way that you've done is wrong. You can do another way. So you need to find out, okay, if it has not worked in a certain way, what must I change? And then you begin to do that. The recipe that you need to make for cake is different from the recipe that you need to cook your egg. You have to do whatever. You have to find out. You have to learn. You have to. God promises that he who seeks wisdom, he will give him. There's so much knowledge. There's so many things in this world. And whatever you're trying to achieve or accomplish, somebody already in this world has already done it, and they've actually written a book and they've shared their stories of how to do it. You actually just need to take the time to find out. Paul says, I do not count myself as one who is apprentice, but the one thing that I do is forgetting the past. You may have failed in the past. You may have been beaten down, trimmed on. Life may have shattered and broken out your dreams, but that is the past. God can turn things around for you. God can change your story. Remember the story. Remember when Jesus met Peter, and Peter had been fishing the whole night and they had nothing in their nets. They had nothing to show for all the work that they were doing. And Jesus says to them, throw your net on the right side, or throw your net deeper. And they caught so much fish that they had problems actually taking the fish back into the boat. So just throw again your net, but throw it deeper. Go a step further. Go further. Press on. Pressing on means actually doing even the extra mile. Paul says, I press on toward the high mark of the calling of Christ Jesus. So as we come to the end of this motivational drive today, I just want to ask you a question. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where your destination is? Because no matter how fast you run, if you have no destination, you end up nowhere. You really need to know where you're going. And when you know where you're going, Ask God to show you the way and to direct your path, to help you. Ask God to enlighten the eyes of your understanding, that you begin to have knowledge, because with knowledge is power, but wisdom, applied knowledge, is what really is powerful. For power, potential which is not applied is useless. But when you begin to put in that potential to work, then you can really attain whatever you dream of. And remember, this is Shalom FM. We believe that there's always a way out in Christ Jesus. You may have hit so many walls, you may have hit so many disappointments, but God is going to turn your disappointments into appointments. God is going to break that wall of limitation. You have to know that God has given you all things pertaining to life and so much more. He's able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above whatever you ask, think, or imagine. So as I log out now, I just want to tell you, to leave you with this thing, that there's always a way out. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your ministry. Don't give up on that which you have chosen. We are that which you have wanted. Keep at it, and God will make a way for you. Remember to get in touch with us at Shalom FM. The number is +27 810269868, and visit the website www.shalomfm.org. There's always so many more programs lined up to help you spiritually, intellectually, physically, in every way, so that you can be all that God meant. And God will always give you the grace to go as far as you have decided. As I log out, I wish you a beautiful and wonderful day, and to tell you that yes, there's always a way out. See you next time. Have a blessed day.
Positive ingredients, freshly brewed by Shalom FM Cape Town. We give God all the credit. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Y'all. You are the Savior. You are the Savior. Counselor, friend, provider.
You
eternal.
You're
There's no one who like gave. You. Who gave your life like you.
Who paid the price.
Who paid our price like you.
There's only one. There's if you know there's only one, make some noise.
There's no one like you.
Between prayer and power. Join us every night for Midnight Prayers with